So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Kicking off a show is things are falling all around you, but isn't that life sometimes? You feel like, okay, I'm ready, let's do this, and then all of a sudden, everything comes crashing around you. That was my moment. I'll never forget one of the first times I was on air the first month live here doing the daily show for Relevant Radio. I was recording from my house, and I knocked over, I just moved, had the whole equipment set up, and I knocked over a cup of water all over everything, my computer, everything. I went in blind. All my notes were on the computer. I couldn't see a thing. Oh, it was just one of those moments that you have behind the scenes, little things that you don't know that are happening. Hey, something really cool. If you're just joining us, this is our weekly happy hour every Monday here on Trending. And joining me in just a little bit will be Sister Tina Alfieri. She's a specialist. She's a therapist. She's a hermit and nun. She specializes in particular in working with addictive disorders, especially sexual addictions and recovery. We're going to talk to her during Advent about how to build good habits with an empty slate. In other words, you want to build good habits. It's a vague idea, but you have no plan. We're also going to discuss why we self-sabotage ourselves during seasons of our own happiness. And we'll talk a little bit about our saint of the day, Saint Nicholas, whom we get our traditions for Santa Claus from. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. And I was kind of browsing through the news and I came across a really fun photo of an actress. That actress is a Hunger Games actress, Jennifer Lawrence. You may not know much about her. She married a art connoisseur, I guess I could say, without getting into his life. She got married in 2019, and they're expecting their first baby. And she has a glorious giant bump that she was just rocking on the red carpet. She's making a little bit of a comeback as she's in the new piece called Don't Look Up. I don't really know anything about it yet, but here's the deal. I thought it was really cool to see an actress rocking her bump, looking, yes, very pregnant, but lovely. I thought it was so exciting to see this woman who, for some reason, Hollywood doesn't really, I mean, they don't show their bumps that often. And I think a lot of it has to do with this idea that they don't want to be perceived as being moms now in all future shows. They don't want to place themselves in that position. She's out there rocking her bump wearing a gloriously beautiful dress, and she looks confident and happy. And she recently did an interview with Vanity Fair, which I thought was fascinating. And I want to come to some of this. If you're just joining us, I also want to let you know we're going to be talking about peace this week on Trending, as it's the second week of Advent, and that is our theme in the second week. And it actually ties in a little bit to what's going on with Jennifer Lawrence's story. So you may recall, you know, she was a star in The Hunger Games. Over the last 12 years, we've seen her in a number of pieces that have done quite well. She's even dabbled in everything from The X-Men to Hunger Games to many more shows. And people really love Jennifer Lawrence, but she has also had a career that's been in the limelight. She ended up having nude photos that were dispersed without her permission that are permanently on the internet for other people to see. And she's seen some things that she's done wrong in her career, things I think she really wishes she hadn't done. And she's made some comments that have a lot to do with peace and happiness. So here's the deal. Some of what we know about her private life is that she's keeping a lot of her private life private. She's keeping very private her marriage with her husband, not really sharing a ton, as well as details about her baby bump and forthcoming baby. But in her recent Vanity Fair interview, I think that there was a lot to be said about the little pieces she did say. And I think it appeals to this whole culture that so many of us live in, where everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants to have so many followers on social media. Everyone wants to have the right amount of likes, and very few people are not impacted by the social fame, even if it's within our own little bubble that we want to be famous within the context of. And What we've seen, though, is that she shows an example that that public life, that fame, that so-called success from a social perspective hasn't necessarily made her happier, healthier, or even more at peace. So, since her marriage in 2019, and now in her recent Vanity Fair interview as she's making her comeback with Don't Look Up, she's made some comments about, very briefly, her husband and even her baby. And when talking about her husband, she talked about her state of kind of interaction and how she's finding a greater sense of peace and joy. She said she enjoys the little things, such as, "I really enjoy going to the grocery store with him," that is her husband. She said, "I don't know why, but it fills me with a lot of joy." This simple little statement that I think a lot was packed into. That she's conscious of the fact that after having taken some time away from public life, she's really grown to appreciate and love the simplicity and beauty of marriage, of going shopping with her spouse, enjoying that time in the home, being a wife, not always having to be what everyone else wants her to be. I think that she's talking a lot about peace, and actually at one point she even talks about this. She talks about how she was struggling. She was disappointed in her quality of work that she was producing. She says she got sick of herself and even claims that the public, she believes, got sick of her too. She talked about how she got to a point where she couldn't do anything right is how she felt. She thought she was perpetually people-pleasing most of her life. And when she came to that discovery, she really pulled back in her public lifestyle, especially in some of the various films that she was in. In other words, she wasn't at peace with herself. And this stands out to me, especially as we're walking into the second week of Advent, that second Advent candle and the Advent wreath that we see in our churches and maybe adorning our homes, our coffee tables or our dinner tables. And maybe we have spent years uttering a few brief Advent prayers, but have never really pondered what each of those candles are meant to represent. Well, that second Advent candle represents peace. And I think that we tend to think of peace and we think of world peace, no war, everyone gets along, communication is easy. In some ways, you might even argue that the internet has allowed for a certain level of communication in terms of our capacity to communicate. But it hasn't really led to peace. You'd think that all of this communication would have led to this collaboration and peace. But no, it's just that we know more. And if anything, it's caused more division and more upset and unrest in our hearts with the way we use it. We think of peace sometimes as this fluffy idea that just everything is okay. And in our words, perfectly okay, whatever that might mean. Or we think about being perfectly comfortable and being peaceful, sitting by a fireplace, drinking our hot cocoa, watching the snow fall. Or if that's not for you, maybe you're at peace on a glorious tropical island in the sun and you're just sitting there on the beach. Like, those are the ideas we have of peace. And I want to get to in just a minute what peace actually is. But I think that this ties back to the Jennifer Lawrence story, from rocking her baby bump, being really pregnant on the red carpet, to talking about how she's found joy in the little things such as going grocery shopping with her husband, that speaks a little bit into what peace is. Understanding, in a sense of belonging, even if it's just a belonging to yourself, or to those proper sense of belonging to the people around you. Jennifer Lawrence noticed the public wasn't, quote, pleased just by her existence. You see, she noticed that people had nothing but criticism and critique. She didn't feel like she was enough, and that was a big mark for her that she needed to pull back from what she was doing. I think that's a profound statement. She saw people weren't pleased just by her existence. In other words, she was saying people weren't appreciating me just for who I was, seeing me as a person, without always expecting something from me, or might I add, objectifying her. Especially with the whole nude photo scandal back from 2014. She said when she realized that people weren't pleased just by her existence, that this shook her out of thinking that work or career can actually bring any kind of peace to your soul. In other words, she's come to this understanding now that work, career, that doesn't bring peace, that doesn't bring comfort to her soul. And I think what we're seeing is she's showing that she's discovered not just fleeting momentary happiness, but joy in marriage and motherhood, in the simple life of the blueprint that God has created for us. And I think that's why she was standing there on the red carpet with her comeback kind of move here with Don't Look Up. And she has this confidence because she has a better sense of understanding who she was. She's understanding what her body was created for. And I'm not just saying that women are supposed to be barefoot in the kitchen, although that can be a great thing. But what I am saying is that she's come to a deeper sense of the whole mission of the human person, the purpose of human life. And that's life-giving, self-giving love. Giving and receiving that I think she's experiencing in her marriage has brought tremendous healing after the very public life she's led. You see, she's discovering what peace actually is. What is peace? I think that peace we could start with is being at peace with ourselves, but what does that mean? And we're not just talking about world peace that people tend to throw the hippie signs up for. Well, remember, peace is a virtue. It's one of the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's a sense of belonging. We could put this in many respects. What type of belonging? Peace is a sense of belonging to ourselves, to God, to the nature that God gave us. That means a purpose He created us for. A sense of peace we can discover in the church and the sacraments. If you find yourself not very peaceful, start praying. Start going to daily mass. If you're lonely and isolated, you're going to find you have a much greater sense of peace and self-discovery. Because you start to have knowledge of right and wrong. That is, you have purpose. You have something familial, something that you belong to, someone, a whole community. You see, Jennifer Lawrence has discovered this sense of belonging after having been taken advantage of and allowing herself to be objectified after the nude photos from years ago, or playing so many roles, as she said, she let herself just constantly try and please other people, being what other people wanted her to be. But I think that she's coming back, and she's coming from a marriage of a couple years now pregnant with her first baby. And she's starting to understand this sense of belonging to herself, a sense of belonging to her spouse, to her child, and she's starting to see her purpose. You see, when we have this sense of peace, that is a sense of belonging, we have a closer orientation to God. We have a closer orientation to our nature, our blueprint for our lives. I think of it as a sense of self-possession. I was at Mass this evening, and I was looking at the statue of Our Lady. And it was one of the statues where she doesn't have Jesus in her arms. It's just her. And so often when you look at Our Lady, you'll usually see her with her arms down and open, palms out. Like she's welcoming people to her. But at the same time as she's giving herself away, I always feel like there's a sense of complete self-possession, that she's so confident, she's so aware of herself, she knows her purpose, that she's able to give herself to others. But the statue I was looking at tonight wasn't an open-armed statue. In fact, two of the statues of her, one was at the foot of the cross, and it was kind of an arms crossed over her chest in mourning. But the other one was an arms crossed over her chest as if she was holding something close to herself. And I think that she was holding this self-awareness, this love of self that's rooted in her love for God. I think Our Lady gives us a glimpse of what actual peace is. Father Robert Spitzer, in his work, Five Pillars of the Spiritual Life, talks about how peace isn't this relief from suffering. He says it's rooted in a deep sense of home. Home amid the cosmos. Jennifer Lawrence, I think, experienced over the last couple years that sense of home, a sense of belonging. Father Robert Spitzer said, "We who have faith know that this sense of belonging is with God, that home is with God." And he said the opposite of peace, the opposite of belonging, a sense of home, is alienation, being, quote, out of kilter with the totality of what's happening in the world, what we're created for. I think that's interesting. In the culture we live in, there's such an orientation to alienation, being out of step. You know, we see this crisis of depression, anxiety, loneliness, mental health crises. But at the heart of the need, at the heart of the desire is the sense of peace, the sense of self-possession, sense of belonging, sense of home that ultimately we will find in totality within God. But we can start by understanding our human nature. We can start with this by praying morning and night. We can start by understanding what we were created for, how we can interact in our marriages and the way that they were created to function. For many, this was first experienced within the family, but I think in a culture where so many families have been broken, this sense of peace, this sense of belonging, this sense of home has really rocked so many people's lives that peace is confusing to them. What is peace? And that is what we're here to answer as Christians. That's what the church is pointing us toward as we look and ponder that second Advent candle on the Advent wreath that represents peace. And I hope you'll pray for this fruit of the Holy Spirit and ponder in your life what it means to belong, to have a sense of self-possession. Not self-confidence, but self-possession that leads to confidence, that leads to self-giving. You're listening to Trending with Timmer here on Relevant Radio. I'll be back in just a moment with Sister Tina Alfieri during our weekly happy hour, and we're going to talk about growing in virtue, that is, kicking bad habits, building good habits. But you can say you want to do it. How do you actually make it happen when you don't have a plan? I'll be right back here with Sister Tina Alfieri, a specialist, a therapist, a hermit and nun, a spiritual director. She works with addictive disorders and recovery and so much more. I'll be right back here on Trending. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. Joining me is Sister Tina Alfieri. She is a hermit and nun, specializes as a spiritual director. She's also a therapist who works with addictive disorders, recovery, and sexual addictions. And today on Trending, I wanted to dive into, I think, a really important topic during our happy hour. So often we'll talk about how, you know, we want to build good habits, we want to grow in virtue, but we tend to do this with an empty slate. That is, absolutely no plan. So Sister Tina's here to talk about how we can actually build good habits and not just leave that slate empty. Welcome to Trending, Sister Tina.
Thank you so much for having me, Timmery. Happy Advent.
Happy Advent. It's good to hear your voice. It's been the first time in a while. Let's talk about, you know, where do you start? So many people be like, yeah, I want to grow in virtue. I want to build good habits. But nothing's really done. You know, do you start with studying what that good habit or virtue is? Start by praying for it? Do you start with identifying your vices? Like, what do you do when you have that desire but zero plan?
Right. Very good question. So we have to be able to have a plan. It's just like building a house. Would you hire a contractor who said, I want to build a beautiful house for you, but I have no idea about how I'm going to do it? I don't know how much it's going to cost, what it might look like when we're done. I would probably be very skeptical about what that might look like when it's finished. And the same thing has to happen in our daily life, in our spiritual life, or overcoming any kind of vices we might have, and also wanting to grow in virtue. We have to have a plan. We have to have something that's going to be a framework that supports our efforts. We have to have a direction, a map. And so one of the simplest things I usually encourage folks to do is to, first off, sit down somewhere quiet. This is going to take a little bit of silent time, 10 to 15 minutes. So be out on your front porch or your back porch, your veranda, somewhere that's quiet and comfortable with a pen and paper. And ask yourself just a few questions. Number one, the first question I would encourage people to ask themselves, if I were going to have my life end in a month, how would I want people to remember me?
Ooh, that's a rough one.
It is
really
rough.
Think about it. That's very eye-opening. And I right away can start thinking of things.
How do I want people to remember me? What is my legacy that I'm going to be leaving for my family, my friends, my community, my loved ones? How will I be remembered? How would I like to be remembered? And then just start jotting down some of those ideas. After you have some ideas jotted down, the second thing I would encourage people to do with that same list is to look at what you've written down and prioritize where you would like to start. You may have a list of 4 or 5 things. And usually when we're talking about growing in virtue, decreasing in vice, trying to develop habits, these are hard things to accomplish. They do take a lot of effort. Change is slow, and it requires our cooperation with the grace of God. So we begin with prioritizing, where do I want the change to begin first? What area of my life? And then once we... go ahead.
This is such a good starting place, Sister Tina. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Sister Tina Alfieri here on Relevant Radio. She's a specialist and a recovery coach working on addictive disorders, and we're talking about building good habits. Sister Tina, you talked about sitting down, taking the time to write these things out. So you take that list, 4 or 5 things identified, growing in virtue, as you said, is very hard. So where do we go from here? Once we start to see, this is what I want to change... And when I ask this, I also want to throw in one caveat before we're going. What if you believe, look at that and go, I can't do that? Mm. And you almost immediately kind of quit at times, or just stop what you're doing, finish the exercise, and move along.
So there's a great virtue called the virtue of fortitude, which sometimes is translated as courage or perseverance. This is an area that we have to grow in. If we are doing our best and putting forth effort, we are growing in this virtue, and we are making these small changes that will add up over time. The enemy would love nothing more, the evil one, the enemy would love nothing more than to discourage us and prevent us from growing in virtue, from cooperating with God's grace. And one of the easiest things that the enemy does is to say, oh, this is too hard. This is too much. You can't do this. This might be for other people, but it's not for you. We have to learn that that is the voice of the enemy and the discourager, and we can do these things. It takes effort and time. The old saying, Rome was not built in a day, could not be more true. We have to start with small changes and small increments. But over time, like a snowball rolling downhill or a boulder rolling downhill, it will pick up and gain momentum. I also like to think of, I believe it's Newton's laws of physics. The first law, a body at rest tends to stay at rest. The second law, a body in motion tends to stay in motion. So if we don't start somewhere, we will never start. If we start with just a small gathering some momentum to overcome that inertia, then that in and of itself will help to develop more momentum.
Fantastic. That's very, very helpful. I love that. A body at rest stays at rest. Body in motion stays in motion. We've got to get moving. I think this is what, even when people talk about, you know, exercising, people who are willing to exercise are usually willing to do something more, you know, stay a little later to go and do this project. You know, they always say, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. That follows that same exact law. So let's come back to these steps. The second step was, look at what you've written. Usually a list of 4 or 5 things come up and you have to start working on them. But this is hard work. What comes after this? You know, how do we see this concretely done?
Certainly. So I encourage starting small. That means just make one small change that's going to get you towards your goal. Very small. I believe that change is incremental, and change that is able to be maintained usually comes about by small incremental steps that have been solidified that we are able to make part of our daily habit and daily routine. It could be, let's just say someone's wanting to take better care of their health and they know that maybe they've got high blood sugar. One of the smallest, simplest things is to, instead of having three spoons of sugar in your morning coffee, start with 2 spoons of sugar, or even if you feel very bold, 1. It's a very small change, very small, but added up over time, it's going to gain momentum. I think, again, when we make too big of a step, we do get discouraged. And I always like to encourage people, set yourself up for success, not for failure. Make these steps, these incremental changes, so small, they might even seem silly. What is 1 less spoonful of sugar in my coffee going to do?
Right.
Well, maybe not a whole lot in a month, but over a year, it's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really want people to be successful and not get discouraged by biting off too much.
Let's take another example. Let's say you're having a hard time getting things done. You don't have enough time, but at the same time, you recognize, I've been spending a lot of time on my phone, or maybe I've been binge watching a show every day, multiple days a week. What would you say to start? What would be that small change to start taking back your time?
What I might suggest is setting the timer on your phone. Many phones today have either a timer or the parental controls. I have to be my own parent. Nobody parents me. I'm 56. I'll be 57 this week. Nobody
Happy
parents
birthday.
Me. Thank you. So I have to be able to parent myself. There are controls on my iPhone where I can limit my time on the internet, on the iPhone. These are small things that can be done. It doesn't have to be these huge gargantuan steps where I'm going to have a no internet Sunday or no internet Saturday for 24 hours. For many people, that might be a big, big step, and they see that as overwhelming, especially if you're checking your phone every 10 to 15 minutes. So let's start somewhere small where we have kind of like a holy hour, so to speak, where we are disconnected from the internet for just 1 hour. Many of us can do for 1 hour what we might not be able to do for an entire day or an entire week. So
right.
Again, it's the concept of let's set ourselves up for success. Let's start small. We got to get that boulder rolling downhill, and then it will help to create more momentum.
And even think of little things like with the phone that is such a problem for so many people. I'll leave my phone in the car. Okay, I'm going into the grocery store, leave it in the car. I remember one of the big things was waiting in grocery lines and not checking my phone. For a while,
yes.
That was a really big thing because it was so boring just waiting there. But I wanted to make sure that I engaged with the checker when I got there, that you kind of have that opportunity to review, did I really get everything I needed? And it's just a waste of time. You don't do anything important in those 20 seconds or 5 minutes that you wait. And so it's little things like that that over the years I've tried really hard to be good with my phone, but it's so easy for it to sneak back up as a problem. And so I give the phone example because I think it's something that all of us can work on.
And I love the example of what you just shared about being in the checkout line at the grocery store, and maybe many people, whatever line or queue that they are in at the bank or the movie theater or just in traffic. I really like the example that you gave of there's so many other things, small things that you can be doing that would help to leave a better legacy. When I'm in the checkout line at the grocery store, I'm looking around, I'm greeting people, I'm smiling at the children, I'm noticing maybe if I've got more items than the person behind me, I let that person in ahead of me.
Right.
It's because I'm aware of what's going on and my face is not in my phone. We, you know, again, this all points back to what is my goal? How do I want to be remembered? What's the legacy I want to leave? This becomes very important. I don't have children. I'm a celibate. I'm a consecrated person. But I think this becomes even more important for people who have children. What's the legacy you want to leave your children? That mom or dad was always disconnected from family life because their face was in the phone all the time or on social media or yelling and screaming at the car in front of them, stuck in traffic. What is the legacy you want to leave your family? What are the memories?
And what you just described in that very, very simple standing at the checkout, waiting in the grocery line was very profound. All of the human interactions that are lost by looking at our phone, whether it's we're at the airport, we're in the line at the grocery store, wherever it might be. You mentioned smiling at a child, letting someone with fewer items behind you go in front of you, looking at the checker, situational awareness, even safety, danger, precautions, and just being aware of other people and what's happening in the culture. We see this, we see others in those moments, and we learn about ourselves as well. I think that that's such a profound example you just gave of all of the little things that can happen in that 20 seconds or those 5 minutes that you're waiting in the grocery store line, but they're human connections that have been completely lost. This is such a great example of how to build those good habits when you want to, but you have an absolute empty slate. Do you have any other tips for building those good habits?
Well, I don't know if I have any other tips, but just to kind of, I guess, follow up on what you were just sharing about situational awareness. This is really about living a more kind of contemplative, slower lifestyle and being aware of where I am in a situation and who is around me. And how can I interact with the people God has put in front of me or around me? The elderly person in front of me, maybe they're confused, maybe they're fumbling some with their money or their change, or maybe they are not able to take all of their groceries out. How can I help them? If my face is in an iPhone, I'm not picking up on this. So it's a more contemplative, slower lifestyle that I think would be helpful for many people. And it can come under different names like situational awareness. Although I think that's more about, for me, when I hear that, I think about gunman, danger. So I like kind of contemplative slowing down and being aware of where I am, what I'm doing, and these other people were not all there by accident. God is in charge. And so we are all there at the same time. It's not coincidence. It's God incidence. And how can I be of help to someone if I'm not aware of who's around me and what's going on? How could I possibly be helpful? I'm not.
You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. That's Sister Tina Alfieri. She's a hermited nun, a spiritual director. She specializes as a therapist working with addictive disorders and recovery, as well as sexual addiction. Let's turn directions here for a moment. I'd like to dive into the topic of self-sabotage. It's a real challenge that's eating away at so many people's happiness. And one common theme that we see in the culture. And I'd like to ask this question, why do we self-sabotage ourselves during happy seasons in our life? Why is this such a common trend?
I think it has a bit to do with fear. And I know many professionals look at self-sabotage as fear of success, that it's something, maybe we're in a new successful situation and we're fearful of the success in that. I tend to look at it in a little bit different way. It's just fear of the unknown. We get preoccupied with what's going to happen next, and not in a good way, but in a negative way. The old saying, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, for me kind of explains the concept of what I'm talking about. I can't be happy in the present moment, because I just know something's going to happen. I'm just waiting. And up, oh, there it is. Yep, the shoe has dropped.
And that could be a positive sense or a negative sense. Wouldn't you say, like, for example, in the negative sense, we're expecting, we're being pessimistic. Something bad's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can't really be happy right now. But then on the other end, like you said, being preoccupied with what comes next, we can also skip to the next thing. Like, for example, so many people are so focused. Okay, I have to get married. I have to get married. Okay, they meet someone. They're getting married. They get married. Boom, I have to get pregnant. I'm not getting pregnant right away. You know, it's constantly this crisis because they're only focusing on the next thing.
The next thing. And that kind of really points back to that being in the present and having a slower lifestyle and focus and focusing on enjoying this moment. So if I am a married person, if I am a newlywed, and yes, maybe we want to start a family and we're trying, we give this to God. We cannot live in fear. God is in control and I have to follow His will for me. If that's to have children, fine. If it's not to have children, I must be fine with that. It's difficult, but I have to be okay with what's the will of God for me. And we can't get into self-will. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. They have this great saying, self-will run riot. When we try to self-will things instead of cooperating with God's will, we really cause a lot of chaos and problems for ourselves. It really is taking the time to be present and aware and happy in the present moment, regardless, because that's where God's will is. God has us exactly where we are supposed to be. I remember in scripture where I believe it's Paul is in prison and it's midnight and he's singing psalms and hymns. Mm-hmm. He's in the mm-hmm. worst situation you can be in. And he is finding ways to praise God and to live in the situation. I'm thinking of the great martyrs of Auschwitz. I'm thinking of Saint Maximilian Kolbe in the starvation bunker. And he is encouraging others and he is praying and he is singing. And it's not that they're happy that they are in the situation, but if this is God's will for me, then I am happy to be in God's will. It's a very deep, it's difficult. I understand that these things happen with grace and our cooperation with God. And we're not happy because we are suffering, but we can find peace if we are putting ourselves in the care of God through the Virgin Mary, consecrating ourselves to Jesus through her Immaculate Heart. And just saying, God's will be done in me, the way that Mary gave her fiat, I will do this according to thy word.
That's Sister Tina Alfieri here on Trending with Tim Murray. We're going to come right back. We have some questions coming in for Sister Tina. If you'd like to ask your question, you can ask it now live on Instagram. Send me your question. I put up that chat box. Find me at Tim Murray, that's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E on social media, or give us a call, 1-888-914-9149.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray.
Welcome back to Trending. Happy Advent. If you've been missing our Advent content, please head over to relevantradio.com/trending where you can subscribe to the podcast, catch everything from the Advent wreath to what each week of Advent is represented by, that theme for the week based on the Advent candles, and so much more. So head over to relevantradio.com/trending or subscribe wherever you catch your podcasts. Sister Tina Alfieri is here with me now on the feast day of St. Nicholas, which I'll get to that in just a moment, but we have some questions coming in for Sister Tina. Sister Tina is a hermit and nun, specializes in spiritual direction, is a therapist, especially working with addictive disorders, and a recovery coach. coach. And one of the questions that came in, Sister Tina, on Instagram from SS Gritters is, can a person be addicted to self-help type life while neglecting their kids?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And on occasions, I think this is might be a bit more rare, but I have seen it on occasions in 12-step communities where people are neglecting their families in order to be a part of the 12-step community. Now, this becomes very difficult to try to work on, because in 12-step communities, it is suggested that, especially in the beginning of recovery, people attend 90 meetings in 90 days. And what that means is often shortened to what's called do a 90 in 90. That's a meeting a day for 90 days. So for 3 months, you go to a meeting a day. Well, for busy parents who may also be employed, this may leave one of the spouses feeling like, I'm left holding the bag. I've got to do everything. I'm helping with the children. I'm doing the housework, the cooking, the chores, and you get to go out to your meeting every night while I'm left home trying to take care and run the household. What I really want folks to understand about that 90 and 90 concept is, number one, it is a suggestion. It's a good suggestion, but it's only a suggestion. There are no rules here.
It's maybe the same idea like working out every day or eating, you know, greens every day. Mm-hmm. It's important, but if you live too rigidly by it and define your life by other people as well as yourself, suffer for it.
Correct. You said it so well. You said it much better than I did. And that's correct. And so we have to look at how many recovery meetings, if we're talking about 12-steppers, how many recovery meetings a week are good for you that help you to maintain your sobriety? It might be 3. It might be 4. Maybe if you're relapsing every day, you do need a meeting a day, 7 days a week. So we have to look at the individual person, and we can't, as people in recovery, we can't use meetings as a way to avoid our family duties and responsibilities. That's a cop-out. That's just not fair to our families. If I'm trying to parent and be a good parent, and my sobriety is intact and I'm able to stay sober with 3 or 4 meetings a week, excellent. I don't need to avoid my family responsibilities by saying, oh, well, I really need to make a meeting tonight if I'm not really feeling the urge to do so, or maybe that my sobriety is in jeopardy. It's really, it's a big concept. In the beginning of recovery, we do encourage people, if they are able, to do 90 and 90. It's only a suggestion. It's not a rule. We want people to engage in the recovery process. But yes, sometimes when we're dealing with recovery, there's other issues going on, some dysfunction in family dynamics or relationship dynamics, and active folks in recovery can sometimes just use going to a meeting as an excuse to avoid dealing with those other issues that are going on.
Interesting. And I think, kind of looking at this question again, coming in from SS Gritters, can a person be addicted to self-help type life while neglecting kids? Let's say there's not even an addiction. Let's just say, you know, they're constantly looking at the best new diet, the best new exercise plan, you know, the best types of prayer, meditation, you know. And when I say some of that, you know, people go down the line of yoga, which, if you want to talk about yoga, we'll post a link in the show notes for today's podcast, helping you understand why that's problematic in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But I think that the question, when I look at this, it's just people maybe constantly looking at self-improvement, and then they're chasing one thing after the other, and then somehow missing their kids while somehow trying to improve themselves for their kids. Get what I'm saying?
Yes. And really, who is the self-improvement for? Is it really for the children? Is it for the parent? I'm all for self-care, but also sometimes self-improvement tends to be It can be about pride, how I look, vanity, how is my figure looking, if I'm constantly concerned about what I'm eating or am I working out. Taking care of one's body, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not to abuse ourselves in any way, but also the body is not to be worshipped. And it's not to be something that we are seeking vanity in. So am I really taking care of myself and taking measures that are going to help me, hopefully, to live as long a healthy life as possible so I can parent my children and see them grow up? Or is there some vanity and some pride going on there that's driving this? What's my motivation? We have to get very honest about what is my motivation.
That's Sister Tina Alfieri here on Trending with Timory. Sister Tina, thank you so much for taking the time and for all of your wisdom and helping to build good habits, overcome bad ones, and grow ultimately in virtue and orienting ourselves toward God. You can find more episodes with Sister Tina on the podcast. Just head over to relevantradio.com/trending, where we talk so much about everything from various types of addictions and growing in virtue and your prayer life. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio on the feast day of St. Nicholas. Now, St. Nicholas, if you don't know, is where we actually receive the tradition of Santa Claus from, St. Nicholas. And there's so much I could say about St. Nicholas and his story. We know actually quite a bit about him. And as we ponder just for a moment this saint, he's really one of the early church saints. He is a third century saint and he was a bishop. But some of the neat things, you have to understand the context of bishops at that time. They were much more involved in the community, doing work, often end up having trades, among other things. Like, their closeness to the people, I would say it was very raw and much more real in the sense from today, so many of us live in isolation from those we interact with, work with, in a world of continued digital working remotely. And even within our church, the distance is great. And I think of this example of St. Nicholas, who was known to have helped so many people, especially the poor. But one of the more common stories of St. Nicholas that we know is that there was a man with three daughters, and those three daughters he wanted to be able to help marry off when the time came. But at that time, it was normal to provide a dowry, to have something of value to give a prospective husband. And he was poor. He couldn't provide that for any of his three daughters. And so these daughters were going to be taken into slavery. They were going to be perhaps taken into very unhealthy relationships. And so what happened is St. Nicholas knew about these three daughters in this family, and he actually dropped a bag of gold, it is said, through a window for each of the three girls. And as the story goes, these bags, or at least one of them, went through the open window and landed in a stocking or a shoe before the fire, because they didn't leave their shoes out to dry from the moisture outside. And so this is where we get that theme of leaving stockings by our fireplaces to be filled. And it's a reminder that we forget these stockings, that we tend to get anything from candy to new toothbrushes to maybe some more blinging type of gifts, that these stockings are a representation, when we look at them, of the generosity of others, of helping people in need, especially helping young women who are in need of a spouse. So let's pray to St. Nicholas to help people who are searching for a spouse this Christmas. Good news as abortion numbers drop in Texas. This is Timory from Trending with Timory. Tuesday, I'll discuss what's ahead with the current chemical abortion pill culture for young girls. How do we reach them before it's too late when abortion pills are so accessible? What's the future of abortion? I'll be here so that you and I can discuss how to be helpful in our communities. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.